This evening, I thought to give you a history lesson. Now, I know you didn't expect to come here and learn history. And many of you have heard the oft-quoted maxim that those who do not study history are condemned to repeat it. Now, in the world of the yogis, what is the yogi's take on history? Consider that your stay in a body is all about history. The precise Sanskrit term given in the advanced yoga text Srimad Bhagavatam is Paranjana, the one who enjoys within a body. If you can track your history as the enjoyer within the body, how long is that history? Where does it start? Where does it end? It is said that those who don't study history are condemned to repeat it. But repeated lifetimes is what's going on in material existence. Somehow, because we're so tiny, we've forgotten about our birth. We were talking about this in our morning class here this morning. You don't remember your birth, but if someone forgets your birthday, you'll be very angry, right? How many of you have experienced persons dear to you forgetting your birthday? Yeah, thanks for your honesty. You had a few persons who raised their hands straight away, others were. That's all right. But we don't remember our birth, but we want our birthday celebrated. So in other words, what we remember or not remember isn't so crucial to the way we live our life. What about our previous death? We certainly don't remember that. But here's the difference. Because we don't remember our previous death, what does that mean? It never happened. So you see our bias? Let's consider from a different angle the changes in our lifetime. Our body is always changing. Those of you familiar with Bhagavad Gita, the prime bhakti yoga text, know that Krishna gives you this real life example that real entity, the real person within the body remains constant while the body is always changing. From infancy to youth to middle age to old age to death. But Krishna says, wait, why consider death the end? We didn't consider birth the end. We didn't consider infancy the end, or the teenage years the end. So why, arbitrarily, do we have this bias to consider death to be the end? In this very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna wants to lay down the essential knowledge of how we are different from our body and mind. Because without understanding that, we can't make a clear, cohesive plan for our present or future. If we think we are something that we're not, the rest of our life is going to be mistaken. We'll be pursuing in the wrong direction. But now we can say, all right, I can see someone changing from infancy to teenage years, to young adulthood, to middle-aged, to old age, to death. I can see all that, right? But I don't see anyone going from death to birth. So that nails it. We don't see it, therefore, it doesn't go on. We don't remember our birth, but we can say, others see? Babies born all the time. So just because we don't see something, directly or indirectly, does that mean it never happened? What if there's a way to develop higher vision so that we indeed can see the whole history of our changing from one body to another, one lifetime to another? In other words, our vision may not be educated enough. We may have to upgrade our seeing capacities in order to perceive what is most important. So much of the genuine yoga system involves purification of consciousness. Often when people hear this word purification, because I speak at a lot of unis, and you mention the word purification, even amongst the yoga crowd, and whoa, sounds like something very unattractive, very painful. Purification. But the Bhakti Yoga texts introduce you to the bliss, the joy of purification. As we become more purified, meaning our consciousness becomes more distilled and free from pollutants, we can actually then experience the natural spiritual joy of the spiritual self. But there's something right now blocking our system. There's something that's clogging up the works. That's the misunderstanding that we are matter, that we are the body and mind. Now, many persons will say, wait a minute. I know that I'm not just biochemicals. I know that there's something more to me. I know I'm kind of spiritual. But we lack the profound, precise knowledge of that spiritual identity. And because we lack that, we end up just endeavoring materially. We end up basically doing like everyone else, whether they think they are the body or not. That's because we lack precise knowledge of the spiritual self and how to satisfy the spiritual self. So here's what happens. Lacking the knowledge of the spiritual science, in the name of saying I'm spiritual, we end up just doing the material. So in this way, everyone becomes confused. Confused about who they are, what they should be doing. And that confusion spreads to other persons. No one actually knows what spiritual is. This is why Krishna begins Bhagavad Gita by making the clear distinction, so we can see that fundamental point and then make further progress. How do we verify our non-material identity? That requires a different kind of science. Just because that science is different from what we ordinarily consider science doesn't mean such a spiritual science doesn't exist, or doesn't mean it has no has no truth to it. If we're going to actually verify the spiritual reality, the non-material dimension, then we have to qualify ourselves. Even to accomplish ordinary things, some qualification is often required. Many of you are going to the uni or have gone to the uni. The whole point, ideally, is to get a qualification that will impress an employer who want to take you on. What about the qualification for understanding our history as the entity in the body that's trying to enjoy? And that history goes from one lifetime to another. In that sense, we're all like the kings and queens, because when we're inhabiting a body, we feel like the body is at our command. It's meant to fulfill our desires. The reality is, like, we're a solitary swimmer in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. No matter how much of a gold medal Olympic swimmer you are, you're in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. You're helpless. So here we are in these bodies. We don't know when the history started, when the history will end. We assume that because I don't see beyond my birth, I don't see the past death, and I don't see beyond anyone's death, that therefore that's it for the history. But suppose there's a process for refining our vision, purifying our vision so we can see all these things. So that's what Krishna wants to provide us with in Bhagavad Gita. The eyes, the different kind of eyes, to see what's actually going on. It's amazing how little people know in this so-called information age. We're drowning in information, yet we don't know the most essential things. We don't even understand our circumstances, what's happening around us. How many persons truly understand what goes on in their political system or their economic system? How many really know what the militaries of the world are actually up to? Even the little New Zealand military, we don't know what they're up to. So we claim to be in the information age, but we don't even know materially what's going on around us. How are we going to get the knowledge to understand our non-material identity? Is it just a belief? A wishful hope? Oh, I'm non-material. Yeah. I'm spiritual. Yeah, that sounds good. We'll never get beyond that. Or is there a process for purification, transformation, so that indeed we can verify the spiritual reality and its source? This is what Krishna wants to give us. Not theory, not religious belief, not theology, but laboratory experience of what is the spiritual self and the supreme spiritual self and the relationship between the two. Once we get into all that, then we can start talking about pleasure. The yogis know that any talk about material pleasure is just wishful thinking. We wish it so much that it will come into being. And you know how quickly material pleasure comes and goes. But we resign ourselves to that because, hey, doesn't seem to be anything better, you know? You got to do something. Got to enjoy in some kind of way. Do the best you can. But are we doing the best we can? Are there higher levels available beyond the temporary thrills of the material cosmos. We should think about that. Is there a process we can follow that will purify our consciousness so that we can actually see what is real pleasure beyond the stuff that has a beginning and end? These are the issues that the bhakti yogis deal with. And they're not just struggling in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. There is knowledge coming directly from the source of all pleasure. Krishna literally means the source of all pleasure. The unlimitedly attractive source of all pleasure. So the yogis want to connect with that ultimate source of pleasure. In that way, our quest in life becomes successful, and we can actually end the history of going from one body to another. We may feel like kings and queens of our body, but how long does the reign last? We're actually quite insecure. And we've been going from one body to another for countless lifetimes. Is that what we're meant to be doing? So the question is, how do we live a life? How do we have a lifestyle that will allow us to see what our real mission is? I know many of you here have thought from time to time, what's my mission in life? What am I all about? And you try to create something for yourself, some niche for yourself. My mission is to make others happy. Well, how many persons do you know? Well, I know a few persons, so I'll make them happy. Or my mission is to help others. Well, how will you do that? Well, some kind of way. So these motivations are good as far as they go, but they don't go far enough. Therefore, what Krishna tries to impress upon us in Bhagavad Gita is that before we can help, before we can enliven others, love others, care for others, we need knowledge, precise knowledge of the spiritual science. Then we can actually uplift the real person, the one who's been making all that history, going from one body to another. What do you do when you stop changing bodies? If you can put a stop to what's called the cycle of repeated birth and death, what do? You have an eternal spiritual form. And Krishna has an eternal spiritual form. Beyond all the changing of the material forms, there are the eternally existing spiritual forms. Experiencing that is the topmost rung on the yoga ladder. Spiritual form, spiritual personality, spiritual individuality. All in a relationship of pure love. Love unhampered by any material considerations or material circumstances. We can do that with our life right now. It's all about understanding the applied spiritual technology. Your lifestyle can be one way, but through purification of consciousness, your lifestyle can be another way. This is real art. This is real science. This is real culture. So please consider. A history that shouldn't be repeated. Our identifying with one body of matter after another, changing from one body of matter to another. As long as we make that mistake of thinking, I am this body and mind of matter, we cannot be happy, and we can't make others happy. There's only the wish, the hope, the attempt. For those of you who are serious about happiness and pleasure, we invite you to the world of Bhakti Yoga. Thank you very much.